Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. Hebrews 12, verse 18. If you want to get deep in the Word of God, get into the book of Hebrews. You'll never get out of it. You'll never, ever get out of the depths of the knowledge that's in this book. I just never cease to be amazed at the wonderful things that are in the book of Hebrews. Paul writing to the Hebrews, these are to the Jews, and has some very important things to say. Hebrews 12, verse 18, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to a number and an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the just, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkling, the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Praise God. Praise God. Paul's telling them some things about where they are. And tonight, I just want to preach. I just felt like the Lord gave this to me for the service tonight. And I want to preach knowing where you stand. Amen. We got to know where we are. Not guessing, not feeling like we know where we are, but we need to know where we are. I need to know where I stand. You need to know where you stand. Amen. Let's pray and let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. So precious is your Word. I thank you for it tonight, and I ask you to anoint it to each and every heart and life. And I pray in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. There's an old saying, and I've heard it many, many times over the years, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And it may be an old saying, but it is still a very true saying. There comes a time where we must become sure in where we are in our lives. Amen. We cannot be like a ship without a sail or a ship without a rudder. That the winds of the world are going to blow in many directions, and just going by the way that you feel, just going by the circumstances. Over the years, I've preached that in many, many times we see that there are what I term as electricity Christians, amen, and that just simply means they travel the path of least resistance. We cannot travel the path of least resistance tonight, but we've got to know where we stand. And bless your heart, when we know where we stand, we just need to stand. Amen. Amen. We need to just stay right where we're at because we know where we are and we know what it's going to do for us in our lives. Our world is like a ship without a sail, without a rudder. But as born-again people of God tonight, we've got to have a firm grip on who we are. Amen. We've got to have a firm grip on where we stand, where we've come from, and where we're going. Amen. Because there are so many things that are going to come along to change the direction that you're going. Amen. There is a spirit in this world. If you don't realize that tonight, I pray that you'll realize that before you leave, that there is a spirit in this world that is behind much and most of what is going on. I believe in the Spirit of God. God is moving in this world. But Jesus said there would be a time of trouble that the world has never seen and will never see again. Amen. He is allowing it to happen to fulfill the prophecy of the Scripture. Amen. And you and I may go through some tough times because of the spirit of this age that is moving and doing his dirty work. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, he said, "Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Amen. We walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, small s, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I'm telling you tonight, if we don't know where we stand and we get off track, we're going to be a child of disobedience. Amen. We've got to know the word of God, and we must stand for the word of God. Because in disobedience and in rebellion and in stubbornness, there is the background of demonic activity. Praise God. Amen. Idol worship is something that attracts demons. Amen. You say, "Now, Pastor, you're getting out on a limb." No, I'm not. It's what the Word of God has to say here, and I just read it. Amen. The Bible says that that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Amen. And witchcraft is said in the book of Galatians as being a work of the flesh. Amen. You can make your flesh do the will of God, or you can follow your flesh and be a child of disobedience. But I choose tonight to serve the Lord. Amen. I choose tonight, praise God, to get the devil out of my life. Amen. And to say, "God is in my life. I'm going on to victory. I'm going on to being an overcomer." Praise God. Because we do face things, and we will face things. And it seems like troubles come from nowhere. Job said it was like sparks that fly upward. Amen. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Amen. Especially now in these last days. I know that they say every generation thinks they have it worse than the generation following, but I really believe that our generation has it better than probably any generation in the history of the world. We can pick up a little bitty device and we can talk from New York to Los Angeles. Amen. And we can do it in just a mere moment of time. Your voice can be transmitted through the air. You can pay your bills that way. You can look for things, and they pop up instantly. You can take pictures of yourself and send them to friends. Oh, yeah, we've got the wealth of the world right here in America. And the world is coming up. It really is. There are places where it's not, but the world is really coming up. And, folks, we've got it better here than anybody's ever had it in the course of human history. Nowhere in history has people been so prosperous and has done so very well. But the danger of it is, and the history of it is that when a people become prosperous, many times they go after entertainment and they go after sports. Amen. You can see that in the country of Rome. You can see that in the country of Greece. Amen. They became consumed with sports. They became consumed with the entertainment situation. And in Rome, it took them into the entertainment arenas where they literally fed people to the lions. And they cheered as the lions overcame those people. And it was bloody. It was horrible. But they found entertainment in it. Now, don't tell me tonight that was not of the devil. I'm telling you, it was of the devil. The devil was the motivator of those things. Amen. The devil was the one that led them to their depths. One of the Caesars in Rome lost his mind, literally lost his mind, after he decided to drink human blood. Amen. Got to the place in their life and in the history of their country where they were so disobedient to God and so disobedient to the will of God for their nation that they sunk to those new lows. I'm telling you today, we have come to a place, and I'm not preaching negative here tonight. I'm preaching a positive message, but we've got to know where we stand. We are now at a place where, excuse me, where the leaders of our nation, the leader in Virginia, said very cheeringly that we have now passed a law. And if a child is born and he's breathing and he's outside the mother's womb, the mother can decide to kill that child. We are now in a place where we are literally killing live breathing children. Praise God. I'm telling you what, we're in a place tonight that turns my stomach. Amen. It makes me say, how could anybody go to that depth? But you can go to the deepest depths without God. You can go to the deepest depths. You can be raised on a Pentecostal pew. I've read of those that were raised in the church and got some rebellion in their heart. And they left the church and ended up on the street, homeless, prostituting herself. Just to make a living, when once she was sitting in an apostolic pew, enjoying the power of the Holy Ghost and the preaching of the Word of God. But somehow or another, there was a little something that came up on the inside and said, I've got my own way. I'm going to do it my own way. Hear me tonight. We cannot afford to do it our own way. We've got to do it God's way. And when we do it God's way, we're not going to be floating around and saying, well, you know, I've got to have money, so I'm going to prostitute myself. Well, I need this, so I'm going to go and rob somebody in order to get what I need. Hey, I'm telling you what, the children of disobedience are children that are led by the spirit of the devil. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. He said, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. This isn't in our modern age. This was back in those days. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. Everybody said understanding. We know where we stand tonight. He has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus is the true God. He is God manifest in the flesh. And what he said here was, the whole world is lying in darkness. Everything that's going on is motivated by darkness. Amen. But we have an understanding tonight. We have an understanding because we know him. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I hope we know him tonight. Because if you don't know him, you're going to become acquainted with somebody else. And he said, we know him, that is true. Everything about him is true. And we are in him, that is true. Praise God, we know him and we are in him. Amen. It's not just a church experience, amen. It's not enough to come and just sit on a pew and hear a message every now and then. Praise God. What this is and what we are doing here tonight is literally a byproduct. It is a byproduct of the relationship that we have with the Lord. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. And we've got to come to the place of knowledge that we may know. That's knowledge. Knowing is knowledge. That we may know Him that is true. Praise God. and we are in him that is true. Praise God. When I got the Holy Ghost, it was much more than speaking in other tongues. Amen. It was the Spirit that teaches us all things. Amen. And one of the things that the Spirit teaches us is that we are in him and that we can know him. Amen. We can know his voice. We can know his presence. We can know when we walk in a room if we feel darkness in that room. Amen. I've been in places where I walked in and you could feel the oppression and the evil that was in that place. Amen. I've flown into cities. Amen. I flew into New Orleans, Louisiana. If you're a New Orleans fan, I'm not going to worry about that tonight. But I flew into that city, and as I began to drive through that city of New Orleans, there was a heavy presence of demonic activity. And when I went down to the downtown area, just driving around to see what I could see, I saw different little shops along the side of the road, and one of them said, "Strange altars for strange gods." And they were selling idolatry paraphernalia. And I saw another one that sold witchcraft items and paraphernalia. And I said to myself, that's why I'm feeling what I'm feeling, because there is definitely demonic activity in this place. I've talked to other people and said, I really felt a strong presence of demonic activity when I was in New Orleans. And they said, oh, brother, that is one, evermore one place right there for demonic activity. But I'm telling you what, there's demonic activity in Augusta, Kansas. Amen. There's demonic activity that's going on the street that you live. I'm not trying to be negative here tonight, but praise God, if we don't know where we stand, if we don't stand for something, we will fall for anything, and we will be absorbed by the world. God forbid that the church is absorbed by the world. Instead of the world becoming more like God, the church is becoming more like the world. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we cannot afford for that to take place. I wish somebody would help me here tonight. We cannot afford to have that happen among us. Amen. We've got to know where we stand tonight. And when we know where we stand, we can be an overcomer. Got to know him and know him that is true. Know that we are in him that is true. Jesus spoke of this in John 16 and verse 28. John 16 and verse 28. He's talking to his disciples here. And I really don't feel to preach a long time here tonight, but can you just give me the liberty to preach what I feel in my heart here tonight? He's talking to his disciples. If you please, he's talking to you and I. And he said, I came forth from the Father. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. I could stop right there and preach all night. I came forth from the Father. What came forth from the Father? It was the Word that came forth from the Father. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus said, I came forth from God Almighty. Amen. Not a Father, but the Father. Amen. And he said, and am come into the world. In John chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. But it says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Amen. It doesn't say in Genesis chapter 1 that Jesus said, let there be light. It says God said, let there be light. Amen. It was God that said that. It wasn't a first person of a Holy Trinity. It wasn't the second person of a Holy Trinity, but it was God alone. Amen. In Isaiah, he said, I'm God alone. There is no other God beside me. I don't know of any other God. But there is a spirit in our world today, amen, that is behind, oh yes, it's behind religion as well, amen. But what we need to understand tonight is who Jesus is. It is so vital, it is so important that you get a revelation of the oneness of God, of the mighty God in Jesus Christ. He was literally the Word of God, amen, manifested in flesh. Well, that may not be too exciting to you, but it's exciting to me. Amen. He said, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Very familiar scripture there. But what we can see here is that Jesus began to describe to them the relationship that he had with the Father. Amen. With God Almighty. He began to describe it. He began to articulate it. And he got to a doctrinal place, if you please, where he made sense to those that he was talking to. And there are times that we minister to people, and maybe even we've been ministered to, and we see it in the Scriptures. We see what the Lord is trying to tell us. But many times what we see in the Scripture goes contrary to what the world is doing. Amen. And so it's all right. It's grand. It's great. It's wonderful while we're sitting in the house of God. And we've got nice music and we've got worship and we're feeling the presence of the Lord. And when the minister gets up to preach, he begins to preach the Word of God. And we say, I see it. I believe that. I believe that that's true. But I'm telling you tonight, when you walk out those doors and you go back out into that dark world, amen, it's not going to be so much a matter of believing as it is knowing. Amen. You've got to know where you stand. Amen. You got to know where you are in God because there are so many things. And he summed it up by saying, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He literally said, I know you believe that. You're telling me you believe it. I believe that you believe it. But I'm telling you right now, the world is, the darkness of this world are going to come upon you 12. And when the darkness comes upon you, I am going to be left alone. I'm your example, he was saying to them. I have overcome the world. This is what's going to happen to me. My closest associates, the people that have followed me, the people that have listened to me, the people that have said master or rabbi, the ones that have said this, that, and the other as he healed the sick and raised the dead. Oh, yeah, he told them, I know ahead of time what's going to happen. And church, we've got to know what's going to happen ahead of time. We've got to have a deep understanding that in this world there will be tribulation. Amen. It's going to be here. It's going to come. And we're going to be alone. You're going to be alone at some point in your life. You're going to be alone. But he said, I am not alone. He said, you're going to leave me alone, but I am not alone because the Father is with me. Amen. Praise God. He said, I speak these things unto you that in me you might have peace. We've got to know where we are in our relationship with God. And Paul wrote to the Hebrews here and gave them some deep understandings of their spiritual position. And he said, "For you are not come to the mount which might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them." And so Paul starts off, and I believe tonight that this is a great way to understand where you are. Paul didn't tell them where they were. He started off by telling them where they were not. You have not come to the mountain. You have not come to the tempest. You have not come to voices. You have not come to a place of fear. You have not come to that place where you said, "We don't want to hear the voice of God. You go and talk to God and come back and tell us what God said." He said, "That's not where you have, that's not where you are tonight." Amen. You are not come. In the church, we are not come to a place of fear. In the church, we have not come to a place where there is no safety. Come on, somebody. What we have come to here tonight is not where we used to be. I'm not going to talk about all of those things that I used to do. I'm not going to revel in that life that I used to live. I'm not going to bring all of that up. Amen. I'm not going to come to God, come into the house of God, and then listen to the things that I used to listen to. And friend, it's so tempting. It's everywhere. Amen. To pull up an old song that you used to know. And then remember the experiences that went along with that song. Amen. To go back to the way that you used to be and still live for God or try to live for God. No man can serve two masters. You're going to have to know where you stand. You're going to have to make a stand, not based upon anybody telling you to do it, but based upon what you have gotten a revelation from God from. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. We've got some young people here tonight, and we preach there's only one God and that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm not being critical of these young people at all, but you can hear it over and over and over again, but it not get down in here. You can understand it from a doctrinal standpoint. You can read it in the Scripture, but there is something different from studying the Scripture. Some people are that way. They like tidbits of knowledge from the Scripture. They like to dig up historical facts about the Scripture. They like to see how all these things fit together, and it's almost like a scientific study of the Word of God. But I'm telling you tonight, it is so much more than getting a tidbit of knowledge here and there and becoming excited because of a truth or a nugget of truth that you have seen in the Word of God. It is so much different than revelation. Amen. It is so much different than revelation and understanding by revelation of God. Amen. Jesus said, "No man comes unto me except the Father, except the Spirit draw him." There is a spiritual activity here. Amen. Some people can feel comfortable in their scientific study of the Word of God, their numerical study of the Word of God, their historical study of the Word of God, and not even have a personal experience in the Holy Ghost. Books are written all the time by people who do research and into the Bible, and it's good stuff, but I'm telling you what, it's not the same as a relationship. You can read about somebody, you can know all the facts and details about that person, but if you've never met them, you can't say, "I know them." I know them. They're a friend of mine. I can call them up. Amen. Sometimes when the phone rings, my wife will say, that's your phone. I'll say, oh, it's probably the president calling, wanting some advice from me. Pick up the phone and make believe I'm talking to the president. Tell him what to do. Give him some advice. Amen. I know a lot of things about the president, but I've never met the president. I don't know him. And people can say, I know a lot about the Bible. Amen. I know a lot about God, but I'm telling you what, you are not come to a place, amen, the mountain where it was the law. They could not endure what was commanded. And as much as a beast would touch the mountain, would be stoned to death. Amen. He started out here by telling them where they weren't. Amen. And it's very helpful because they were Hebrews, so they had a natural tendency to go back to the foundation of old, where they started, and hang on to that. You know, traditions are very powerful things. The things that we do on a regular basis, we get into a tradition, if you please, or we go the same way to work every day, and we do the same things over and over again. And after a while, it becomes our comfort zone. It becomes something that we are settled in, that we expect to work out a particular certain way. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight that it's much more in living for God than just knowing which street to turn to get to the church. Amen. It's a whole lot more, amen, than mechanically coming on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. It's so much more than that. It's got to get down deep inside where you say, I was glad when they said unto me, it's time to go to church. Amen. Not because somebody told me I have to. Not because I read it in the Bible and it says that I need to. Amen. But it's because God has given me a revelation of what is actually in the church. Amen. My relationship with God is through the church. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You can't be saved without the church. You can't be saved without a preacher. I know that flies in the face of a lot of people, but I'm telling you tonight, how can we believe except we hear, and how can we hear without a preacher? Amen. And God, the Bible says that God has ordained that by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. I've got to have preaching in my life. I've got to have somebody to give me what God gave to them. That doesn't discount my personal Bible study time. It does not discount my personal prayer time. But hear me tonight. What you study and what you learn in the Word of God is going to be confirmed over the pulpit. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're never going to get to the place where we can come up with a new doctrine. Amen. And be out there on our own. I'm not even going to go into that here tonight. But I'm telling you, we've got to know where we stand. I've got to know what the church is really all about. Because there are spirits in this world that will tell you it's not really that big of a deal. Amen. There are spirits in this world that are constantly putting down the church, putting down the faith of the people of God. Amen. It's in our world today. And if you don't slip out of that every now and then on a regular basis, and that's why we have the services that we have. Amen. It's not that my wisdom is so great. No. It's because I need the Word of God. Amen. And you know what? You need the Word of God. Somebody said amen. Praise the Lord. Even from a preacher that's got a voice problem. Well, somebody could have smiled about that just a little bit. Because it's the Word of God. I said it's the Word of God. He reached back and told them where they weren't, but then he came to the place where he told them where they were. He said, you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Everybody said heavenly. You know, the Bible says we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, we're in a heavenly place tonight. You're in a heavenly place because you're sitting. Amen. I'm standing tonight. You're in a heavenly place. We sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. We've come to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. The word church is literally a local assembly. That's exactly what that word means. Amen. It's not a broad term necessarily, and of course it says the General Assembly and the Church. I don't have the liberty to just go wherever I want to go and do whatever I want to do. I've learned that as a preacher. Amen. You just can't go where you want to go because you're going to get yourself into a lot of hot water. Amen. That's right. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm a part of something that is awesome. I am a part, and you are a part of something that is awesome. Amen. Maybe you don't feel that way, but you've got to get to the place where you know where you stand. You've got to get to the place where you understand and know what it's really all about to be a part of the church. Amen. Well, praise God. Hitting a brick wall here tonight, but I'll tell you what, I'm just going to preach until it starts to crumble. Amen. He started telling them where you are. Amen. I'm in a good place tonight. I'm in a great place because I'm in the church. Amen. He said, I have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Amen. I have come to Jesus. Yeah, Pastor, that sounds good. I'll tell you what, I've come to Jesus tonight. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I felt God's presence here tonight. I did. I felt it very strongly at the beginning of the service. And it thrills me. It thrills my heart. It thrills my soul to feel the presence of God. We have come to a place where there is an innumerable company of angels. Amen. There's plenty of help. They are ministering spirits that are in this place tonight. That word innumerable there means 10,000. By extension, a myriad or indefinite number. We'll just say 10,000, all right? There's probably close to 10,000 residents here in Augusta. But I'm telling you what, we have a packed out house tonight. And the angels are excited. The angels are with the preacher. If I could hear in the realm of the Spirit, they'd be saying, amen. Preach it, Brother Worse. Praise God. Just keep right on going. Push your way through your difficulties. Amen. Do the work of God. Do the will of God. They're standing. It's so full here tonight, they're standing on the side. You can say, Pastor, you're going crazy. I'm reading the Word of God. That's where we are. That's where we have come to. We're not to a mountain that burns with fire and a place of fear and doubt. No. Well, there's troubles in the church, but I'm telling you what, we're going to make it through any trouble that comes. You know why? Because we got a revelation of where we are. We got a revelation of where we're standing tonight. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, I really feel this in my heart, that I love everybody here tonight. And if you don't love everybody here tonight, then you are the one that has the problem. Amen. You say, well, this and thus and so. Hey, let me tell you, God loved me when I was an enemy of Him. He loved me, and I've got the Spirit of Christ in me. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That is given unto us. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that when I come to the house of God, somebody will love me. Amen. Praise God. Glad when I come to the church that I don't have to have somebody criticizing me or whatever the situation might be. or gossiping about me. No, no, I'm telling you, we're in a better place than that tonight. We are in the church of the living God. We have come into the presence of Jesus. Praise God. I know where I stand tonight. I've had people come to me. I was a saint and sat in the pew, and I've had people come to me, and I remember in the church that I got saved in, there was some dissension that was rising up within the church. And in fact, the young man that won me to God was involved in it. And I looked up to him. He was a spiritual man. He led some of the services and would worship and witness and talk about the scriptures and all of that. But somewhere darkness began to get into his heart. Somewhere a spirit of bitterness came into his heart. And here I was, just a young convert. Things were coming up. I saw a couple of the elders in the church. One of them is not in the church anymore. The other has passed on to be with the Lord. And they were standing there. I was talking with them, and all of a sudden the conversation turned. The church was getting full. It was packed out. And the pastor was talking about building a new building. We had some property, and he said, we're going to build a big sanctuary right over here because we have too many people. And these two men began to talk down the vision of the pastor. And I don't know anybody that's doing that here tonight. I'm just using this as an example. And they began to run down the vision of the ministry and said, well, we're having revival now, but what if it doesn't continue? And there was that voice of doubt, that voice that said, well, if it doesn't continue, what are we going to do with this big payment? And immediately in my mind, I thought, oh, faithless people, you have no faith in God. You don't believe God. And other situations came up, and the man that won me to God came to me, and he said, Greg, he said, I'm leaving the church. And he said, I'm going to do this and so, and I want you to come with me. And he thought that I was ignorant in the Word of God, but it was more than the Word of God for me. It was a relationship. Amen. And he got done with his spiel, and he said, what do you think? And I said, you are the craziest person in the entire world. That's what I said to him. I said, the man of God prayed for your wife and she was healed of cancer. What in the world are you planning on doing? Well, to make a long story short, he started preacher religion and followed this one and that one. And friend, if you get involved in that, I've never seen it work out. Amen. And there's nothing but bitterness and heartache because it's not going to be any different anywhere else than where you are right now. I can tell you that for sure. Because wherever you go, there are people. Amen. No angelic being sitting on the pew tonight that I can see. Amen. We are people. Praise God. And, you know, sometimes in the ministry you can think, man, it sure would be easy to pastor if we didn't have to deal with people. But then I got to thinking about that, and I said, you know what? I'm a people. But God puts up with me. Amen. I'm thankful that God puts up with me. I'm thankful that God puts up with my foolishness. Amen. I'm glad that God puts up with my failures and my shortcomings. Well, somebody ought to say praise the Lord. We're not out there in the darkness tonight, but there is a place where we are. Amen. I'm in the church. I'm in the presence of Jesus tonight. I'm hearing the good word of God tonight. Amen. Well, praise God. I feel like shouting right now. Hallelujah. You're coming to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Some people say, well, the temple's not going to be rebuilt because there's too much political stuff. If they tear down that Dome of the Rock and build the temple there, we're going to have World War III, and that probably would be true. And I've thought so many times, how is that temple going to be built in Jerusalem? But if you are a student of these things, there's a book out that I read called Temple. And the author was a detective, amen, Friday. And he could find anything and do anything. And he started looking, and the scripture does say in every place that the temple will be at Mount Zion, amen, the city of David. And they have literally discovered the city of David. In fact, when I was in Israel in the 1980s, about 1984 or somewhere in there, we were going along and the tour guide said, right over here is the city of David. We have just discovered the city of David. And we know where the temple is or where it was. And this man has come along and built on top of what they have already known. All it will take in Jerusalem is for a few of the religious leaders to get a revelation of where the city of David actually is, and within a year's time, the temple could be built. Amen. You say, well, what does that have to do with the church? It doesn't have anything to do with the church, but it does have a lot to do with Bible prophecy. It does have a lot, because the Bible says that the Antichrist will go into the temple of God saying that he is God. And so in order to do that, there has to be a temple. Amen. And it is very, very close. Praise God. But we have come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. Everybody said, my God is alive. Amen. I know where I'm standing tonight. When troubles come, I'm not going to say, where is God? I might do that for a little bit, but I'm always going to come back around to my revelation. I know where God is. I know he's in my life. I know that. I know that. Praise God. To the spirits of just men made perfect. Praise God. Everybody said made. That means it wasn't there before, but now it's been made. Praise God. I know this is very simple tonight, but there are those of us, all of us, that when we started coming to the house of God, we were not perfect. Our spirit was not perfect. There was wrestling that went on as Jacob wrestled with God. Praise God. I'm working out something in my life. Well, come on, get your act together. But sometimes, Sylvester, it's hard to get your act together. Sometimes it's very difficult to say, I'm just going to flip a switch and I'm going to become a different person. Oh no, it doesn't happen that way. You know why? Because we're flesh, and this flesh is very powerful. Don't ever underestimate your flesh. Amen. We are in a place where the spirits of just men made perfect. And we are just not because we're perfect, but we are just because we are striving for perfection. We are righteous because we are striving to do the will of God, striving to do the work of God. And we trip and we fall and we fail. But we're not here tonight to condemn. Jesus said, I condemn you not, go and sin no more. Get up and get close to God. I said, get up and get close to God. And let the Holy Ghost touch you one more time. Praise the Lord. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You wrestle with things. And it's just that one service. Amen. It's just that one message that you hear that all of a sudden your life is revolutionized. Somebody came to me the other day and they said, I want you to know I was starting to drift in a direction that was not good. And that message that you preached was a turnaround in my life. Amen. If that message was only for that one individual, I say praise God for that. You're going to come to services where you're not going to get a lot of revelation because you've already been down that road. Amen. But folks, those of you that are older, that have an understanding of the Word of God, and you know God, amen, you need to be praying while the preacher's preaching. Amen. Touch somebody that needs this tonight. Amen. Well, praise God. Don't make the pastor do it all on his own. Amen. We need to be praying and saying, God, help the man of God. Help the pastor. Help the Word of God. Let it find its mark in somebody's heart. Let it find its place and lodge it in my heart. Well, praise God. I feel the Lord here tonight. Amen. To the spirits of just men made perfect or mature. To God, the judge of all. Now, if that doesn't scare you, if that doesn't stir your heart and put some fear into you, nothing will. Because we're in a place where God has come to meet with us. And to the blood of sprinkling, the blood of sprinkling, we're covered by the blood tonight. That's where we are. We need to know where we stand. I'm covered. We sang that song tonight. Cover me when all of these things are going wrong. Cover me when I've lost my faith. Oh, I'll tell you what we need to be covered by is God's covering. Amen. And the covering of the Lord is the sprinkling of blood. Amen. It is the outpouring of the blood of Jesus Christ, that when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says we put on Christ. It's my covering. It's the covering of grace. It's the covering of mercy. Aren't you thankful that God didn't just knock your head off the first time you made a mistake? Oh, Lord, I'd have to have 1,000 heads. Amen. And God would not have enough to knock off. Amen. I'm telling you what, sometimes I look at myself and say, you know, Lord, why are you even bothering with me? Why are you even bothering with me? Like the prophet said, oh, Lord, I dwell among a people of unclean lips. I'm a man of unclean lips. That's the prophet that said that. I need God is what he's saying. I need help from God. I need the strength of God in my life. And so do you, and so do I. Amen. 1 Timothy 2 and 5. I'm going to finish here with just another scripture here. 1 Timothy 2 and 5. For there is one God. Everybody said one God. One mediator, everybody said one mediator. One mediator between God and men. God and men. There's a mediator in between. Garrett, stand up. Come right over here. Gavin, come over here. Turn around and face everybody so they can see you. All right, here's God. We're just going to use him as an example of God tonight. And over here is man. Boy, you guys are getting tall. Straighten up a little bit. I can still look eyeball to eyeball with you. This is the church of giants. Now, come on, you're God. Straighten up here. All right, there you go. He can't get to him because he's flesh and he is spirit. He is almighty and he is all weak. There is such a stark difference between the two that there is no way that this one could come over here to God. No man hath seen God. And if we were in the full presence of God, you would die. You would vaporize because God is light. You could not handle that much light. And so there had to be a mediator in between God and man. And if you'll listen tonight, it'll give you a revelation. Amen. He had to be God, and he had to be man. Mm-hmm. Woo! Right. I feel like shouting. He had to be God, and he had to be man at the same time. Amen. In order for him to be the mediator between God and men, right. The man, Christ Jesus. He wasn't just a man, he was God. He wasn't just God, he was a man. Praise the Lord. And he alone could forgive us and save us from our sins. Go sit down over there. Go ahead and sit down. Praise God. There's only one God. 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. We have a mediator tonight. That's where we are. I can't go to God and get the answer, but I've got Jesus Christ. He's inside of me. He will help me. He will strengthen me. He will deliver me. Praise God. I know where I stand tonight. I know where I stand. Ephesians 6 and 13. Sister Reed, would you come tonight, please? Ephesians 6 and 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, everybody said, I've done everything I can think of. I've Googled it out. I've researched it on the internet. Dear Sister Scott, she's a doctor. Amen. I said, it's Dr. Deb. I said, she's Dr. Deb because she's got the internet. Amen. She'll give you all the remedies that you need. Tell you what you need to buy and how to take it and when to take it and all that. I call her Dr. Deb. Amen. But you know what? That doesn't mean that the diagnosis is always going to be right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's only one that we can go to. Amen. There's only one that we can go to. And having done all, to stand. There's only one Dr. Jesus. He doesn't use the internet. He doesn't read medical manuals. He probably laughs at some of them. If you really had a revelation, you'd just pray for your patients and I would heal them. Praise the Lord. Talk about a good practice. You'd put all the other doctors out of business. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. Having done all, to stand. To stand. I've done everything. I've tried this. I've tried that. I've gone over here. I've gone over there. I've listened to this. I've, you know, all of those things. But until you get a revelation, like Thomas got a revelation, and he looked at this man who was the mediator between God and men, and he said, my Lord and my God. You are my Lord and my God. You're not just a man, but you are my Lord and my God. I'm going to stand on that tonight. Praise God. What are you standing on tonight? What is the very foundation and the core of what you desire in life? What's your foundation tonight? What is the very thing that you're seeking for and searching for? Eventually, you're going to be drawn to that thing and go in that direction. But hear me tonight. Amen. When you've done all, find yourself at the altar. Find yourself in a prayer room somewhere. Find yourself in the Word of God and say, God is for me. God is for me. And it's going to be all right. Do you believe that tonight? I believe that. I do. God is able to do anything. My trust is in Him and Him alone. In Christ alone I stand. In Christ alone. Not in you, not in anybody else, but in Christ alone. Not in the things of this world, the possessions of this world, but it's in Christ alone that I stand. Amen. Let's love Him together, right?